Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
I'm glad we get this guy on his own in a room. He's been here before, but has been part of Dream Team. Nandi was supposed to be here, but I'm actually glad that she's not, because I've wanted to have a one-on-one with Trey for a little bit here.
It might get ugly.
What do you mean? How bad could this go?
No, I'm kidding. It can't go any bad. It's going to be good. Yeah, we'll chat. I'm excited, man.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. We got you here because of this big show, Coke Studio on ETV, which is back for a second season. You're a presenter.
Yes.
What's the worst interview you've ever had?
Coke Studio?
No, just in general. Has it gone ugly? You said this might go ugly. Has it ever?
It has. We've walked out of interviews.
Really? What happened?
I don't know. People just ask, you know, very stupid questions sometimes. Okay. So, I think radio, not so much. I think, like, when people are interviewing you, like, you know, for print or whatever, they just ask you. They like to, you know, put you in a specific corner, drive the conversation towards some sort of drama. So you're just like, leave.
Yeah, you see it, and then you take the off ramp, say peace out. It's been real.
We've been doing this for a while, so we know when things are, you know, when people are conspiring for the wrong things.
What I love the most about the three of you as part of Dream Team is just this consistent diversity in terms of, you know, every aspect of entertainment. Yeah. So you're either on a stage performing, or you're making the music, or you're presenting a show. Like, it's, there's just a hell of a lot going on.
Yeah.
How do you pick the disciplines, though? I mean, are you just good at everything? How do you decide?
I don't think we're good at everything. I just think we don't necessarily write ourselves off of anything either. I think that's always our approach. If we can learn it, we can do it. So, I mean, I've never presented before, but it's something I learned pretty much on the job. And something I think that I became pretty good at, you know, because obviously I've got, you know, people like Scoop who are presenters. I always hang with them. Dash has got experience in presenting. So those are people that I look to and kind of draw, you know, sort of words from. How do I do this? How do I do that? How do I keep it fresh? How do I... Because it can get very, you know, you get used to the same thing. So you have to kind of balance it out, bring some new stuff in, bring some energy, bring a different vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't necessarily think it's being good at everything. I just think we like to think that we can try anything.
The trick with it, I guess, is that, like, in acting, you're someone else. And if someone doesn't like you, it's because they don't like the character. But in presenting, if they don't like it, they don't like you.
You can't go far from who you actually are when you present. Yeah. So that's true.
Talk to me for a second. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Durban.
Yeah.
I've lived in most of the locations in the Durban area. KwaMashu, Claremont. Yeah. And basically now, my family home is in Queensburg.
Cool.
Yeah, but I've been all over Durban, man. Durban is my playground. It's our playground. That's why, you know, a lot of people know us in Durban. We've got a huge following there. Because we've grown to know everybody.
Come out of there.
Yeah.
In terms of the kind of kid that you were, did you partake in all the school talent shows, or were you like hanging out outside? Were you naughty? What was the deal here?
It depends. It depends on which kid. Primary school, I did most of the stuff.
Yeah.
High school was when I kind of got naughty.
Yeah.
Did some things, gave my parents headaches, started bunking school, et cetera, et cetera. You know the drill. But yeah, man, I think I've always had an inclination, especially for music. But it only really came to life when I was in the 11th grade, because we did a speech day, kind of. They asked us to sing or whatever, whatever. And after that, I was just like, actually, I want to do music. So I went and like did some research, and I found out there was an L&B campus in Durban, in West Street. So I went there, we went and did a tour there, and I'm like, yeah, this is what I want to do. And then from there, that's where basically the whole music thing took off.
I wonder, I mean, and I can picture you being quite naughty in high school, actually.
You're too naughty.
I can picture you breaking a lot of hearts as well. Did you do that?
Not so much in high school. I was a good boy in high school when it came to girls.
Okay.
I think after high school, I learned a lot of things that kind of made me like, okay.
Yeah.
I need to be more of someone that cares less about, you know, females. Well, not cares less, but just not in that way.
Yeah. Okay, I hear you. And I guess then what's interesting is that you start sort of taking music very seriously, you start studying it, you start looking at what it's about.
Different.
But there's a massive jump between studying music. I mean, I know people that have degrees in music, but have not been successful in music because you've got to add a business element and you have to add a personality element and a style element.
Yeah.
And it's not just about, I mean, knowing how to play music and write music and all that's very important.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this whole X factor thing is actually what differentiates, you know, people from success and not success.
Exactly. And I think for me, it wasn't even a case of that I wanted to actually be like a musician or like, you know, be an artist. I just really found that, you know, I would produce music and people would kind of not give me the kind of content that I was looking for from the production that I've made. So I decided, you know, eventually I was just like, you know, in order for me to get my point across with the production, I need to actually be in front of the mic myself and actually fill the beats that I'm making with the right kind of content, do the right kind of song so that people understand that, oh, actually, this is a good beat. And that's how basically I started like rapping, singing, all these things. I was just a producer. I love producing. That's what I used to do. And oddly enough, now that's probably the last thing I get to do ever because I'm always in studio recording. You know, like I don't have time to engineer anymore or produce songs. I normally have to bring other people in to produce now.
I had the oddest thought this morning, and maybe you can help me out with this. I was, my phone was on shuffle, on play on the music thing, and Mapaputsi's Clever came up on. And I was thinking, like, I wonder where this guy is now. And then I started thinking, like, I wonder if he realizes with that song how he captured a moment in time, how he's part of South African musical history.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you ever look at what you're doing and think, like, when people think of 2014, 15, 16, like, in 30 years from now, and they hear a Dream Team track or they hear something you were involved with, like, if they're going to, so if you've been part of sort of telling the story of that space and time, and if that feels cool, if you believe that, I don't know.
I don't know if it's something that we think about. I mean, there are instances where people will be like, oh, this song, you know, like from 2 years ago, whatever, Tsegere, whatever, whatever. But I mean, for me, I think I'd like to think that probably those moments are yet to come for us.
Huh.
So it's not something that I think I've conditioned myself to, or I've been actually very, you know, open to or have even heard of in that way. Because it's very rare that people do that kind of thing. It's not like it's an everyday thing. So I don't hear it all the time. And we don't kind of hear people saying, oh, that song from then. But I think in the future, what we plan to do is make the kind of music that, A, lasts as long so that people can remember it post, you know, the time when the actual song is just hot. Because that's what it is now. Music just doesn't last anymore.
Yeah.
It really has like a 2-3 month lifespan, and then after that it's like on to the next thing. So I really want to make music that people can once again feel like they can listen to the whole year, and then obviously those moments that you're talking about will come from that, when, you know, there's a specific time of year where people feel like, oh, that song, or there's a specific when they think about 2 years ago and they think that that's the song that was like the soundtrack for that period of time. I think we're still gonna make that kind of music.
You articulate that beautifully. We're having this deep conversation and now I'm just going to break it up with a really dumb question, but it's what I'm thinking as I'm looking at you is how do I be cool like you? I mean, I'm looking at you on an average Thursday, today is what it is. You look so cool. You smell fantastic. You've got this all white ensemble. It looks like the shoes are just out the box. You've got, you even, are those grills?
Yeah.
You are like a real life person with grills. I only see that on Instagram.
Well, I mean, at the circle I hang around with, there's a lot of, there's a lot of grills. I mean, it's not like I'm a standout. I think it's just become the, you know, the normal rapper accessory.
But you are cool. Are you the coolest person in your family? Do you dress the best? Do you smell the best?
In like, my family, probably, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But and how did you, I mean, were you just, have you always just been cool?
No, I was never cool. I was never cool. I think, you know, when you hang with people for a very long time and you start picking up things, that's where you start to find your own version of whatever cool is. I mean, I don't dress to be cool. I just like to look cool, well, nice. I just like to, you know, like when I walk out of my house, I'd like to feel like, okay, cool. Now people can see me.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it also impacts how people perceive you.
Yeah.
Because if I'm walking out the house and I'm going to the store to buy milk, I've got a headache, I want tablets or whatever, I can just go as me, but then somebody's going to look at me and say, yeah, but what's wrong with Trey from Dream Team?
So you're pretty conscious of it.
It's something that I don't think I'm conscious of it. I was in the beginning. I think that was just the standard of, you know, what I do. And I've accepted and kind of, I don't have even have to think about it. It's just something that I do. Yeah. And I walk out the house, unless I'm really just going to the garage. It's like right by my house where everybody knows me. I'm probably going to shower and dress.
What's the geekiest thing about you, though? What's like the one thing that would surprise people? Maybe you collect stamps or...
No, I'm a PlayStation freak.
Oh, but that's not geeky. That's pretty cool. No,
at the level that I'm at, I got scolded yesterday, actually,
because
I was talking on the phone with somebody while I was playing PlayStation.
Jeez.
And she was like, yo, you're not paying attention to me, so...
How many hours a day? What are you playing as well?
I'm playing FIFA right now.
Yeah, cool.
I'm on career mode in FIFA, so it's bad. It depends on my workload, man. I don't like trading off PlayStation and work. So if I'm working, I'm not going to play PlayStation. I'll probably just move it because it gets bad. So yesterday I was about 4 or 5 hours.
Huh. It's not terrible. I know people that are worse.
4 in the morning.
Jeez, okay.
So it's bad.
Listen, if you enjoy it, then you got to do it. Are you excited for the virtual reality stuff in that? Have you seen all of that? That it's going to all change?
I'm not sure. I'd have to experience it. Yeah. I'm not too sure about it. I've seen Samsung has that whole 3D thing, even
headset and going wild. And
I don't know how that's going to work. I'm not overly keen about it. I still like having my joystick in my hand.
They're gonna pass it on to us, bro. They're gonna force it
on to us. Yeah, it's gonna be like, now you gotta work out and do other stuff when you're playing games. And like, no, the whole point is for me to sit on the couch and be a vegetable.
Yes. So. Yeah. Okay. I see. And I guess this is how you relax, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. One of the ways that I relax.
Who knows you the best in the whole wide world?
My sister.
Okay.
Yeah, my sister, my younger sister. She's 2 years younger than me.
What does she do?
She is in PR. She does
cool.
PR, yeah. So
I hope it's not the boring corporate PR.
No, she does. She's actually working with Anati.
Okay, cool.
So,
that corporate PR is the worst stuff ever. It's horrible.
No, she's pretty excited about what she does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's long hours, obviously, but she loves it.
So then do you guys talk about work or do you talk about like life and stuff?
It's normally me just scolding her.
Oh, what is she doing wrong?
I don't know. She just got that older brother thing. Man. Okay. She's always got to, you know, keep her in check type of thing. It's not even because she's done anything wrong. It's just the mentality that I have. And I think everybody in the group has that same mentality towards us. So we're always like, yo, Kim, you need to do this. Why aren't you doing this? That's just generally like, you know, how we are towards it. But I think we talk a lot about music because obviously she's also, you know, very... you know, exposed to the music industry, being that she's working with the people that she works with. And she always tells me things that, you know, sometimes I might overlook because obviously she's PR. She looks at it from how can I make the most out of this? How can I make the most out of that? So that's what she does in my life.
So you're like literally that guy that's like, who is this new man hanging around you? What are your intentions with my sister?
No, definitely.
Really?
Yeah. Fortunately, I know who she's dating. So,
okay.
Yeah,
is she cool. like that with you?
No, I date a lot.
Okay, so she has to. So it's a double standard.
She's relaxed. No, I haven't said to her she can't. I mean, she just realized that she's got to relax.
Okay,
kind of, you know. When I say this is whoever, then it's serious. If not, I'll never introduce somebody to her.
Okay, type of thing. So it's very serious.
Yeah.
What is there left to say here, dude? This show is very exciting. 6:05 p.m. on ETV, starting on the 27th of August.
Yeah.
Has this been really cool for you? What have you taken away from this experience just interacting with, I mean, it's literally truckloads of artists.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like they took the Musica and they just unloaded everyone onto the show.
In the studio, yeah. They put it all in one studio. I mean, you know, first of all, obviously I haven't presented anything except we've done like one sort of, you know, feature. We say, okay, can we have Dream Team to guest present maybe like a V Entertainment or whatever. But other than that, I've never gone for training and I've never done any sort of presenting. So when they called me and they said that they're interested in me, and I was like, okay, am I able to do this? Because like I've never actually done it. And I went to the audition. And when I was at the audition, there's a guy that does the direction named Leon. He's like one of those guys that's like thinks in 3D.
Yeah.
So he was like, no, don't worry. I've seen you guys and you're going to smash it out the park. Don't worry. So I was like, okay, cool. Let's do it. And I did the audition. They called me back the same day and they're like, okay, cool. You got it.
Fantastic.
So, I mean, you know, just from an artist perspective now, the amount of time that I've been in the studio with artists and not being able to record music myself was probably the most frustrating thing about it. But in the same sense, there's so much that I've picked up now because of the fact that people have very different, you know, work methods in the studio. They have very different approaches to music. And it helps you as an artist when you are able to sit with people that think differently from you.
Mm.
And so from that perspective alone, I think it's been like so much value to me, so much value to Dream Team that I've been in that space for 2 months, you know, where I'm learning about how rock bands record, how, you know, singers, how they'll layer vocals, all those. There's so many things, how producers are approaching, you know, like different things, EQing, mixing, all these things, you know. And then obviously from the presenting side of it, it's also been, you know, a very big sort of leap for me forward, because it kind of opened a new avenue that I'd never really looked at.
Mm.
And now I'm actually pitching for other things that have to do with presenting, because obviously, you know, it can't take away from the Dream Team brand, but at the same time, it's something that can help me to build exposure around myself and Dream Team at the same time.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's one of those things, man. It's been a true blessing. I've enjoyed my time there. It's going to be a fantastic show.
Were there any divas on set? Are any of these artists like, were they full of shit? Really?
Of course, yeah.
What do you think when you see people being like that? Because you don't strike me as someone who's too difficult to work with.
And that's been the tricky part, because I'm not. So sometimes, you know, the people that I've been working with would kind of get used to the fact that I'm not, and then forget that I can be.
Okay.
You know, I don't like doing that kind of thing. I think you always got to relate to people on a person-to-person basis.
Yeah.
I don't really see the value of me saying, no, I'm an artist, you're just working here. You know, obey me, or, you know. There are people that do that, and they might be well justified to, but I don't think it's the kind of approach that I like to use. So, I mean, there are people who, you know, kind of like to pull their weight around and get things done and make people wait. I'm not going to say names, obviously, but, you know, there's been a couple.
It's definitely that, I'm looking at the first name I see. It's definitely Ash Music.
Nah, Ash was very cool, man. He's got a lot of tattoos.
Well, listen, dude, it's been so cool having you swing past. Is there anything left to say here? You're the presenter now. What is there left?
Well, just tune in Saturday, 27th of August.
Who are you going to watch it with? Is it going to be a crew thing? Do you want to watch it on your own? Will you watch it live?
No. You know, I actually don't like watching myself on TV.
Okay.
So I probably won't watch it. I'll record it and then just catch it maybe like at 3 a.m. when everyone's asleep.
When he's finished playing PlayStation.
Yeah, just to like look at myself and think, I could have done that better or whatever. But in general, I even told the guy that does the show, I was like, nah, as long as you guys are happy, I don't want to see retakes. I don't want to see anything. Just tell me you're good and then we keep moving.
Fantastic.
So I don't like watching myself. But yeah, that's it. Catch the show, ETV, September 27th, 6:05 p.m. It's going to be epic. You guys are going to enjoy the music. It's already playing on radio now. They're releasing a song a week, so it'll be fine.
It's very, very cool. There you go. That there is not just the guy from Dream Team anymore. The way you say that is so cool. It always has been. Not just the guy from Dream Team, but also the co-presenter of Coke Studio on ETV. Trey, thanks so much for stopping by, bro.
Thank you for having me. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.